world, and we know what's going to happen. You said your word would not return to you void. Hallelujah. When you're the one doing the sending, Lord, you said it won't return void. If we're doing it in our strength, then there's no power in it. But if you're sending it like you are, you said it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it, praise God. Amen. And it will accomplish what you desire. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we are confident, Lord, that things are happening on the other end of this thing. Mighty things. And, Lord, we may not know it all till we get to heaven. But when we get to heaven, we'll know what our faithfulness here has meant to you and to others that it has touched. In the name of Jesus, we receive this offering that we can continue to send your word. And everyone said, amen and amen. Brother Willie, if you'll receive that today, we thank you for your faithfulness. My wife and I was just talking about faithfulness on the way to church. And God is so good, and you are so important to the work of God. Amen. Praise God. We thank God for the special offerings for our air conditioner. Praise the Lord. We are so grateful for God speaking to people. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. God will bless you for that. If you have your Bible for a few moments, turn with me to the book of St. Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. I've told this story, but I want to read it today. And I want to deal with the subject of dealing a death blow to doubt. Dealing a death blow to doubt. Amen. Everybody here has or will experience doubt. And we need to know how to deal with it when it comes, because it's going to come to everybody. There are going to be times you pray and the answer isn't forthcoming. And you're going to have to deal with doubt when that situation arises. You're going to have to remember that God's delay is not his denial. Amen? One of the hardest things for me to receive from the Lord is when he says, wait. I'd rather just say no and get it over with. Then I'm out of the, you know, I don't have to worry about how to pray or what, how to stand. I know this is not God's will. This door he has closed, and it's all right. Or to say yes, and that door spring open. But when he says, wait, then I have to be patient. Can you say amen? I have to be patient. And my general prayer is, Lord, give me patience and hurry. Amen? Give me patience and hurry. Well, if God hurried, he can't develop your patience. Amen? It's in the waiting that patience is developed. And the scripture said that they that wait upon the Lord, literally minister to him in the midst of our circumstance, like a waiter does at a table. This is not just sitting down and being complacent. This is and just, you know, when God gets ready. No, this is continuing to believe him, continuing to trust him, continuing to worship him, continuing to serve him. Can you say, man, they that wait. How many has ever had a waiter come to your table? Amen. It's this kind of way. Those that continue to minister unto and for the Lord in spite of the circumstance. Some people, when everything's going good, they're really a ball of fire for God. But when things go in reverse, then they're distracted, discouraged, and disillusioned and disappointed. And all of that forward momentum is broken. My wife mentioned happiness not being based on happenings. And I'm going to tell you something. You better get beyond happy. I mean, you got to get beyond happy if your happy is based on happenings. And get into that gladness my wife talked about. Praise God. Amen. The Bible said in the early part of the book of Psalms, he hath made me glad more than in the time when their corn and their wine did increase. Their cash crops, amen, was the oil and wine. Their cash cow, if you please. And when all of that money and prosperity came in, they were extremely happy. Who wouldn't be? They were sitting on top of the world. I'm not even that old school to remember the words of that song. I'm sitting on top of the world. Got the world on a string and the string on my finger. Amen. It's easy to serve God when everything's just going so wonderful like that. But when you hit the hard places in life, it becomes more difficult. When the storms come, it becomes more difficult. And yet the psalmist said, he made me glad more than in the time when their corn and their wine did increase. One of my favorite scriptures in the old covenant is, though the fig tree shall not blossom, though there be no fruit upon the vine, no cattle in the stall. Everybody say, that's about like America right now. Yeah. We're in an economic pressure and problem. And everybody's feeling it. I feel it at the gas pump. I mean, I was so glad I didn't have an Escalade the other day. Guy pulled into the gas pump with an Escalade. Number one, I know he's probably got a big payment. Don't think that everybody driving these big cars are rich. If you have an Escalade, you could probably amen that today. Most of them have payments. Everybody say payments. Amen. If you can meet the payments, you could do a lot of things. If you've got the credit, you can accumulate a lot of things. But he pulled in the gas pump, and I don't know how much the Escalade holds. But I know that thing just kept running. It got to $40, and it was just going. $50, it's going. $60, it's going. Praise. I mean, you know, what does it take to fill an Escalade? $80 or something? I don't know. $100? $65? $65 for a Yukon. Yeah, that's just a Yukon. You figure you can go on up from there, the big Dodge Hemi thingies. Amen. And this guy's just going on, and I watch the numbers run. See, it's so easy when you got all this stuff to draw from. But when there's no fruit in the vine. Now, the prophet is saying, you know, so hard times come, even to covenant people sometimes. And to nations that God is chastising or judging or trying to bring back to himself because they've bowed to the gods who are no gods and gods of materialism. And when those things begin to hit, he said, there's no fruit in the vine. There's no cattle in the stalls. All the cash crops are not coming in. We're in trouble. Yet, I will glory in my God. And I will joy in the God of my salvation. For he will change everything. And he will make everything. No, for he will change me. First. See, most people want God to change their circumstances. And we use our faith only for that to happen. And when that doesn't happen, where do we go from there? Here's what he said. He said, for he will make my feet like hinds feet. This is those mountain deer. This is not the deer that runs around down here in the flatlands in Florida. It's not the deer that runs across the road up in Ocala. Amen. These are deer that run the high places. He will make my feet like... And you know, I visualize beyond that mountain deer. I vision the mountain goat as well. I mean, I've never seen anything like that in my life. Have you ever seen a mountain goat? You look like two precipices here, and he jumps to this little ledge, and he jumps back to that little ledge, and he stands sure-footed on sheer rock, it looks like. And he can go all the way to the top of those ledges on sheer rock because he's designed by God. God has designed him for those high places. God didn't design us for that. He didn't design other animals for that. But the animal that lives there, he designed for that. And the prophet is saying, if he doesn't change your circumstance, be assured. He will change you. He will change you. And most people don't want to trust God for the change in us. To where we're not impatient and we're not dependent so much on the outward circumstances for our joy and our gladness and our happiness. Amen. Because the change in us requires pressure. Amen. Because you need patience to get through those times. And the Bible said that tribulation, thelpsis, pressure is the word. Pressure produces patience. But we don't want the pressure. Everybody wants a neat little faith formula. And we want to apply that formula, snap our fingers, watch God move. And yet, God didn't set up his kingdom that way. And he don't want you to stay a baby. He's predestined you and me to be conformed to the image of his son. And Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Amen. Everybody say suffered. Say, Brother Vimble, I didn't get in this thing to suffer anything. Well, I'm sorry about that. Amen. In this world, you shall have tribulation, thelpsis, pressure. Amen. Amen. Tribulation. worketh patience. Patience, experience. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Literally, never lets down anyone who steps out on it. Hope is the glad anticipation of future good. It doesn't mean you're going to stay in that place you are. It means He's going to give you what you need to get through that time in your life. Can you say amen? Until you reach that place where He has purpose that you reach as a Christian. He will make your feet like hinds' feet and make you to make progress. I like the Amplified. It said He will make you to make progress, not stand still in discouragement or panic, but He will make you to make progress on your high places of responsibility and discouragement and test. Can you say amen? God wants to change us, not just change the circumstance. I love it when Jesus just gets up, walks out and says, "Peace, be still." And there's a great calm and the storm ceases. That's how I would like every answer to come if I was making the choice. Come on, I don't want to go through no storms. Come on, church. You don't want to go through no storm. That'd be like going to the dentist for root canal and saying, "I don't want no Novocaine." Amen? I don't want no laughing gas. I want Novocaine, laughing gas, Advil, aspirin. And while you're at it, put the Three Stooges on. Can you say amen? Yeah. To divert me. Give me some yuck, yuck, yuck while you're doing that. Amen? Do something to help me. Nobody wants pressure. And yet we live in a faulty body. Everybody say a faulty body. This body's not the one you're going to live in forever. It's aging. Snap, Crackle, and Pop used to be my breakfast cereal when I was very young. Now it's my bones when I roll out of the bed in the morning. Amen. I was in that gym. I've been out of the gym for a long time. I was good. I loved it until I found out how bad out of shape I was. I got in there and got on those machines that I used to throw that weight on. I used to warm up with the weight I maxed out on. And I thought I could just get in and get back where I was. And I found out that as time passes, things begin to change. Can you say amen? And I thought, dear Lord. You see this gorilla guy over here with all this weight, and you're over there, you feel like you need a pink tutu instead of... Let the gorillas over there lifting all of that, and here I am lifting this, and I thought I'm going to go upstairs and nobody can see me get on a machine. Time passes, things change. In your Christian life, when you first get saved, it's almost like God just covers you, just seals you up, and you have that honeymoon with Jesus, and you have that great time, and you pray, and your prayers are answered. You get up and give a testimony. Amen. It's so easy to tell other people how to walk in victory. Glory be to God, because God just got you sheltered from it all, incubating you. Can you say amen? But as time goes on, He begins to say, "All right, now you've got to walk this thing out in your life." Amen. And though the fig tree shall not blossom, though there be no fruit upon the vine, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in my God, will glory in my God, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. This is the principle of praising Him anyhow, rejoicing in Him anyhow, knowing that he that shall come will come. There is an end to this thing. There is a time when God will come through, and there is a testing time, but there is a growing time while you're being tested. Can you say amen? And if you'll let God take you through it, literally the Bible said in the book of James, my brethren, James chapter 1, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, many types of trials and testings. Can you say amen? It isn't joyful feeling, but count it joy. Why? Because you know something. Amen. For we know that all things are working together for good, Romans 8 says. Amen. We know that. You have to get it settled down inside of you that even in that weakens you, great good can come out of that if you keep your faith in God. Can you say amen? You let Him develop you. You let Him bring you through that. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if you let Him bring you through with joy, if it wasn't for the joy of the Lord, I would not be in this pulpit for going on 38 years. I can honestly say, God has been faithful and so has Satan. Can you say amen? Oh, the devil has never let up. He has never let up, never let up, never let up, never let up. I do not expect it to ever get smooth. If it ever gets smooth, I will question my spiritual walk with God and the effectiveness of the ministry. The devil fights what he fears. Can you say amen? If the devil isn't bothering you, get saved. And if you are saved, then get right. Because if you get saved and get right, he's going to bother you. But if you keep your trust in the Lord, you're going to see your tests become testimonies. Amen? Wow. All those that live godly in Christ Jesus, without exception, shall suffer what? Persecution. And it's not just because someone is criticizing you because of the faith. There's other ways the devil fights to persecute us. Somebody will judge you while you're going through some kind of problem, like Job. Job has issues in his life. And what happens? People decide to take it upon themselves to judge him. Be careful. Be very careful. The man they were judging, God called perfect. Oh, they're still judging Job. They're still judging him. Somebody the other day said the reason what happened to him was because he said that I greatly feared. If he hadn't entertained fear, none of this would have happened. Ain't that incredible that a preacher that is being whisked around in a jet plane, that hasn't lost anything, that is whisked away by a limo to a hotel, as soon as the service is over, he's gone. He's not going to stay there and pray for 5,000 people. After a while, he'd fall out. I understand why it wouldn't be the Lord either. Can you say amen? Just out of sheer exhaustion. I understand that, but he's being whisked away. You can't call him. You cannot talk to him directly. He can talk to you directly through the letter.
Oh, yeah.
Amen? God put you on my heart. Well, say, God told me to call you today and see how far it gets you. Can you say amen? Yeah, call the main office. Say, God told me to talk to him today. He's too busy. He can't do it. I'm not criticizing him. I'm saying he can't do it. Here's what I am saying. They got that all wrong about Job. The reason Job was being tested is not because he didn't have faith. It's because he did have faith. Because he pleased God. Because God knew when push come to shove. And there was no reason to believe, no reason to trust anymore. He would trust anyway. He would praise God anyway. He wouldn't shake his fist at heaven. He wouldn't get discouraged, and he wouldn't give in, and he wouldn't give up. Amen. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. They're still accusing Job. Still accusing Job to this day. And saying, if he just had my set of tapes, hey, if you had his set of problems, you'd change your set of tapes. Can you say amen? It's so easy to preach faith. From a penthouse, can you say amen? But when you have to do it down in the trenches with everybody else and under the pressures of life, it's a whole different animal. Believe me, praise God. I'm glad for Job's story. I'm glad for Paul's testimony. He said, the devil has poured it on me. He said, I was shipwrecked 3 times. 3 times the boat went down. Amen. I was in the deep for a day and a night. There's times when Jesus speaks to the storm. Amen. But if he doesn't speak to the storm and say, peace be still, he's going to speak to your heart and say, peace be still. And if he says, peace be still to your heart and you receive it. Amen. Then the storm can blow and do its very best. This is for showing. This is for blowing. Can you say amen? We don't use this up here. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. I got that from Laverne and Shirley, who asked a date that came dressed like they'd never seen a man dressed to date one of them. And she said to that handkerchief, is that for showing or is that for blowing? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There is a difference, you know. Listen to me. Amen. Everybody, even those preachers, if they in their moments where they're very candid, will admit their own weaknesses, their own tests, their own trials. It's easy to watch somebody for an hour on television make you think you can live above it all. But you cannot. You have to live your life and your Christian life in the reality that you're in a fallen world and you have a faulty body. Amen? It's not immortal yet. Hate to break it to you, but you're aging. Amen? And somebody said, oh, what is it when there's, just because there's snow on the rooftop doesn't mean there isn't fire in the furnace. I knew you knew. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me. We're all aging. Things are changing. But we're also growing spiritually. Dale, we're not where we used to be. God is even speaking to us like He used to speak to us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Sometimes you come in and I can feel the heaviness on you and I can see it in your expression. You're facing things and they're real in your life. Listen, God has a plan. God has a purpose in it all. God will bring you through if you keep your trust in Him. He's asking you to rejoice in Him in the middle of that circumstance. Though the fig tree, all of this is in the negative sense, yet I will joy in my God. I will glory in my God. Glory means to boast. It means to brag on Him. Amen. I dare you today to deal a death blow to doubt. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I was little all my life. I can honestly say physically after the sixth grade, I didn't grow another inch. Jesus said, who by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And I'm telling you, nothing I can do about being short. Nothing I can do. Just keep everybody seated that's taller than me. Can you say amen? Make me feel tall while I'm preaching at least. My father-in-law used to come and stand in the pulpit. And we had that mic that you raise up and let down, you know, beside the pulpit. And he would raise it up. He was 6'3". He would raise it up here. Give his testimony. My father, my wife's step. Daddy-in-law. Amen. Anyway, he put it way up here at the Holy Church of God. He put that mic up here for the 6'3" person. And then I would walk up to the mic, stand way under that mic and have to pull it back down. Lord knows how to keep us humble, don't He? Yeah, put Him up first, pull me up second. I found out that every answer isn't a snap. Every answer isn't a little neat faith formula. Amen. That you can't confess away all of your trouble, but you can confess God's faithfulness when the trouble comes. And that's the proper confession. Can you say amen? You don't control the circumstances, but you can control your attitude and your reaction. That's something you can and you must do. Because in this world, God promised, Jesus promised, pressure. I don't know how it comes to you. It can come in thousands of different ways, but I know one thing for sure. No one's going to get out of this world without going through that pressure. Amen. In this world, you shall have. He's emphatic about it. Thelpsis, pressure, anguish, trouble. But be of good cheer. There's that joying in God. I will glory, I'll boast in my God, and I will actually joy in God because He's going to change me if I do that. If I do that by faith, He's going to change me. And if He changes me and makes my feet like hinds' feet, I don't have to worry about these high places anymore. I have been equipped for them, praise God. And when the trouble comes, I won't be stymied by fear. I won't be discouraged, hallelujah. I will actually make progress. Somebody's getting it over here. Shaming everybody else. Praise God. I'll make progress on my high places of test and responsibility. You realize that you can actually make progress, that you can grow spiritually through these things. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers, many different types of temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Hallelujah. God, faith and patience. Say faith and patience. Faith. I know you can't do the airplane thing, but I'm going to do it again. Faith and patience. Faith. Okay, this is faith. This is patience. The Bible said, be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Evidently, they don't come by just standing on the scripture, confessing the word, popping out a prayer, and God pops out an answer. There's patience involved. Faith and patience. And when it talks about faith and patience, it talks about the patience of Job. Can you say, man? We're talking about the real deal here. Yeah. Praise God. Well, it's like an airplane. You got two wings, faith and patience. As long as both of them are together, you're flying. But what if you drop patience? Which wing would you rather lose, faith or patience? Oh, wait a minute. Now patience is getting right up there with faith. I thought faith was top shelf to everything. That's the master key to every answer. be followers of them who through faith, no, who through faith and patience. Faith is expressed and walked out through persistence and perseverance. In the midst of negativism, in the midst of nothing good that we can see with our eyes, but we don't look at the things which are seen, for they're temporal. They're all temporal. Your trial is temporal too. It falls under that category of temporal. Can you say, man, hallelujah? But that is unseen is eternal. Praise God. While we look not at the things which are seen, they are temporal, subject to change, transient, passing. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible meant when it said, and the world passes away. It's transient. It's in a state of flux. Right now, the world is in a state of deterioration. But there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Praise God. And the earth isn't going to groan anymore for the manifestation of the sons of God, because we're going to be made manifest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is getting ready to do all of this, to bring it all to a climax. But right now we're under the pressure. We're under the gun. And we need the change that is wrought in us when we get to the place in our faith that we can praise Him no matter what.
Yes.
And
yes.
Boast in Him no matter what.
Yes.
And declare God is faithful when we don't see anything around us. And suddenly a change comes and He starts making your feet like hinds' feet. Let me read the scripture. We haven't read the scripture. This has been the prelude to the sermon. I got 10 minutes to finish the sermon. If we're going to, yeah, they're laughing because our congregation knows that means absolutely nothing. But I want you to leave here with something today of spiritual substance. Matthew 14, 22 through 32. I just want to read this to you, and maybe one scripture out of Peter so we have some of these. It says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Verse 22 of Matthew 14. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Have you ever found out that if Jesus tells you to do something and you begin to commit yourself to obey what you know the Lord has spoken through His word or into your heart? Have you ever noticed you get contrary winds?
Yeah.
Amen. You ever notice that? It's one of my tests. Is this really God? How contrary are the winds? Is it worth the devil fighting? It must be God. Can you say amen? Amen. Devil fights what he fears. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant of the trouble we experienced down in Asia. Hell, we were pressed beyond measure. Amen? Pressed beyond measure. That meant beyond their human ability to endure. Everybody say, my human ability to endure. We, the apostles, we who walked and talked with Jesus, we who saw the miracles of God, we were pressed beyond. Don't think that seeing miracles, being blessed, amen, will make you superhuman. You still have to work everything within the context of your human humanity. Amen? God doesn't change your humanity. He changes the man inside the man.
Yeah.
So on one hand, you feel weak. And on the other, you feel strong. And after a while, you figure it out that though the outward man perish, the inward man's being renewed day by day. And after you figure it out, you say, when I'm weak, then am I made strong. That's an incredible discovery to make. Can you say, man, that the strength He gives is not based on your emotions, but on your spirit man, the man in the man. Some of you are discouraged, despondent today. You see the devil look like he's winning on every hand. You see the chaos and the trouble. God wants you to see His goodness, His mercy, His grace, and His faithfulness. Hallelujah. He wants you to boast in Him and declare Him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm not up here today because, oh, Brother Venable, you're excited today. Well, I'm excited every Sunday, but you know what I'm saying. You're excited today. You must have had a great breakthrough. No, I just about had a breakdown. I'm excited today because the word works in the valley. I'm excited today because when I'm weak, then am I made strong. I'm excited today because His grace is indeed sufficient for me. And His strength is indeed perfected in weakness. And God does have a plan. And though the fig tree shall not blossom, no fruit in the vine, no cattle in the stall, I will boast in my God and joy in the God of my salvation. For He is making my feet like hinds feet. I don't need a smooth road. I'm highly equipped by the high places. Hallelujah. You didn't hear me. I'm highly equipped. You better get equipped for the high places. Hate to break this to you. There are no smooth roads. Who was the guy that went down, was a missionary to Africa? Dr. Watson tried to find him. Livingston, David Livingston. People heard of David Livingston's ministry to tribes in darkest Africa way back years ago. And young missionary types got all inspired by hearing about what he's doing. And they said, they sent him a letter. Three or four of these young men, full of vim and vinegar, they sent him a letter. And they said, Mr. Livingston, we would love to come and participate in that great work that you are doing. He said, tell us, where are the best roads to get to where you are? He wrote them back. And he said, if you have to have a smooth road to get here, don't bother coming. Can you say amen? You know why? You know why? Because he experienced hardship and testing. And he said, if it's got to be smooth, amen, if you get in your best suit and you go to the first church of what's happening now and you preach and everybody applauds you and buys a bushel of your tapes and gives you a huge offering, amen, and you go back and get in your Lincoln and drive to your next meeting, can you say, amen, if that's the kind of ministry you're looking for, you won't find it down here, amen. You're going to have to have God make some changes in you, some adjustments in you. Can you say, amen, glory to God. One preacher put it this way, don't pray for smoother roads, pray for heavy-duty shock absorbers. Can you say amen? God said, if I don't change the grade that you're on, I will change you. Praise God. If I want you on that grade for some purpose, I will make a change inside of you. Praise God. And when I make the change inside of you, but how am I going to make it? You got to trust me when you can't see and you can't feel. You got to boast in me. I mean, when you don't feel like God is being faithful to you, shout His faithfulness. Because that's a feeling. That is not a fact. Oh, but look at the fig tree, Brother Venable. It really ain't blooming. Look at the cattle stalls. They're empty. There's no fruit on the vine. Boast in God. I dare you to boast in God. God don't need a bunch of cattle and a bunch of fruit. All He needs is a Christian who will not accuse Him, will not give in, and will not give up somehow. I don't know how God's going to meet your need without the fig tree. I don't know how God's going to meet your need without selling all those cattle. But I know God is faithful.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes, he
woo! He's faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able to bear. Who will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Escape to bear it. The escape is so you can bear it. When I saw escape, I thought, I don't have to go through it. Come on. Bear it? Wait a minute. I didn't get in this thing to bear it. He'll make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. That means to weather it. Paul said, I'm able to do all things. I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. And people think of walking on the water. They think of doing great exploits for the Lord. That's bearing up under test. The context of the Greek is, I am equal to anything. What a statement to make in the face of the devil has all these diabolical bad plans for you. To look him in the eye and say, whatever you bring negatively in my life, I am equal to anything through Christ which strengtheneth me. Can you say, man? And Paul stood and boasted in his God. He put that principle of the Old Testament into practice. He boasted in his God while he was going through things. He said, what shall separate me from the love of Christ? And he goes down this litany. And then he talks about what he suffered. Listen to how he boasts in the Lord. Amen. And glory is in the God. Joy is in the God of his salvation. He said, I was given 39 stripes, 40 stripes save one, 39 stripes of the Jews. I was given them on five separate occasions. Five times they stripped me to my waist and bent me over the whipping post. Come on, that's not getting the bushel of offering and getting in your limo and being whisked away to your penthouse. Can you say amen? That's why Demas couldn't follow Paul very far. That's why a lot of young people in America, there's an exodus from the church. There was this mighty move of ushering in young people. And then they were disillusioned because they didn't find a Christ worth sacrificing for. They didn't find a cause worth laying down their life for. Certainly not to suffer anything for his sake. Can you say amen? They found the same consumer attitude in church that you have in the world. What's in it for me? Amen? What's in it for you? How about your soul going to heaven instead of hell? What do you think that's worth? We could bring a man back from hell. He'd tell you it's worth more than any of the silver, gold. You can keep your hundredfold of money and give me salvation. Amen. I believe real revival is going to come back to the church when she rejoices in the things that are really important again. And quit waiting on something the world says you need to make you happy. And said, I'm saved and not lost. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to heaven instead of hell. My destiny is to live with him in joy instead of to be banished from him and punished eternally. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the cross of Calvary. Can you say amen? The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There's a good amen right back here. Say it again, sister. Say it again. Say it again. Amen. Even so, let it be, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. When you can amen a message that tells you that God's way of escape is to equip you to bear it. No temptation is taking you but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able to bear. Who will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. We want this instant answer, quick faith thing. Who wouldn't serve God if everything went perfect every day? Paul said, I was given on five occasions 39 stripes. If you stripped him to the waist, you would find his back matted with scar tissue. Amen? Wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. I heard a man say the other day, hundreds of thousands watched by television, tens of thousands attend his church. He said, Paul didn't have to go through that suffering. He could have used his faith. Isn't that an incredible thing to say about the Apostle Paul? Criticizing him? Little smart-aleck preacher living in a penthouse, driving a Rolls Royce, eating prime rib, having everybody applaud his message because he's got instant little faith answers for everybody. Ready to criticize you when you have a problem for not using your faith. Job's critics are still around. They actually think Job needed their tapes. You put them in Job's situation, Lord help me. Amen. Put them in Job's situation. Let the devil loose on them. It's a wonder God hadn't. Just say, let me let the devil loose on them for a while. But then they're not standing in that place. God doesn't have to prove that again. He proved it through Job, but listen to me carefully. They called him a loser. God called him a perfect man. Amen. I said they are calling him a loser. God called him a perfect man. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Listen to this very carefully. We're getting ready to close in just a few moments. God wants to change us.
Yes, he does.
God wants to change us. He will make your feet like hinds' feet. Paul said, I was beaten with rods on 3 occasions. Many say that's the reason for his eye problems. At one point he said, if you could have, you would have given me your eyes. Because when you knock the spinal column into the spinal cord with that unyielding rod, one of the results of that kind of beating was not just bleeding going into shock. That's why you couldn't go over 40 with the lash, because people would go into shock and die. It wasn't corporal punishment. So it wasn't to the death. They stopped at 39. They just beat a young woman to death. Did I tell you that last week? I did it on the radio. They beat a young woman to death in one of the Muslim countries where the extremists are still applying extreme applications of the law. And she was raped by her uncle on the way to an outdoor toilet. And the wife of the uncle who raped her accused her of seducing him. So the prescription was 100 lashes. 100 lashes. A 14-year-old girl is given 100 lashes. She went into shock. She died in the hospital from blood loss and shock. That's why the Jewish prescription for this whipping was to beat you within an inch of your life. And Paul said on 5 occasions, that's how they beat me. And I'm saying if people can suffer for him and die for him, the least we can do in America is live for him. Can you say, man, not play church and not be phonies, but live for him? I don't like a phony in church or out of church. How about you? I just don't like anybody that's fronting. Amen. I want authentic people around me. I want to be in touch with real people. My problems are real. I need a real God. I need a reality. Praise God. Amen. Don't come to play church. You say, oh, you preach this message, they won't come. Well, obviously they're not, but the gospel is going.
Yeah.
Amen. They're coming. Don't keep the gospel from going. And God's sending it to people that are in pressure and they're having to suffer and sacrifice for Jesus. And they're hearing a message. They're hearing about a Jesus that is worth suffering for. A Jesus that is worth sacrificing for. A kingdom that is worth dying for. And a God that is worth living for. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work. I like one paraphrase of that. Don't always try to squirm out of your trouble.
Yeah.
Can you say amen? Oh, I squirm like crazy. Then I have to go back and read the book again and say, Lord, change me. If you're not going to change the circumstance, change me. And he said, all right, I'll do that. Boast in me right where you are. Joy in me right where you are. Can you say amen? And I'm going to tell you something right now. It takes some faith sometimes to boast in God's faithfulness. I mean, you just have to get that bulldog faith that digs in and says, I'm going to brag on God. I don't care what I see, what I feel. I'm going to brag on God because I know he's faithful. Job said, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what in the world he's up to. I don't know why this is happening. But I know my Redeemer lives.
Yeah.
And though the skin worms eat the flesh off of my bones, if he lets me die in this pickle that I'm in. Amen. Yet I'm going to joy in him. My Redeemer lives. At the last day, he's going to stand upon the earth. Can you say amen? I can't figure this out. I'm going to look past all of this. Amen. If the skin worms eat all the flesh off of my bones, when he stands up, I'm going to stand up. And in this body that you're looking at right now, I'm going to see the Lord face to face. Hallelujah. 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 And he didn't do that from the penthouse. And God said, I told you, devil. I told you there are people that love me for who I am. I told you there are people, amen, that are not just in it for the immediate felt need and self-indulgent gratification. Somebody sees eternity from earth. Sees eternity from time. Shipwrecked 3 times, Paul said. Fell among thieves. Was naked, was hungered, was in the deep for a day and a night. Was among false brethren. Was in peril of sword. Was in stoned and left for dead. These, count it all joy. Here it comes. Are you ready? These light afflictions. Come on, church. These light afflictions Come on, what is your problem today? Put it up beside his and try to make it heavier than his. He said, put it up beside mine. I'm going to tell you something about mine. These light afflictions, which are but for a moment. Everybody say, look past time into eternity. I said, you look past time into eternity. For these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, worketh for us an exceeding weight of glory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. These light afflictions, which are but for a moment compared to eternity. Amen. When I'm in trials, it seems like they will never end. Amen. I like an amen. It's true.
Amen.
Oh, you got those quick trials, huh? You just get in it. You put your right foot in. You put your right foot out. You put your right foot in. And you shake it all about. That's not a trial. Trials when you put your right foot in, you can't pull it out. You put your right foot in, you can't shake it all about. You sure enough ain't going to do no hokey pokey. Turn yourself about. You can't even get out of that thing. Can you say amen? So you got to find some help in it. When you can't get out of it, you got to say, Lord, since I'm in it and I can't get out of it, help me to get through it with you. And he said, all right. No fig tree blossoming, no fruit in the vine, no cattle in the stall. Boast in me.
Yeah.
You say, well, if I get out of this, I would. Say, no, that's the way out.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's the way out. Not necessarily the circumstance, but out of the depression, out of the defeat, out of the disappointment, out of the disillusionment. Can you say amen? Boast in me and joy in the God of your deliverance. Hallelujah. Wow. Job's critics are still around. Amen? They're still around. Still around. And old Job had to pray even for them to get his deliverance. Amen? So if you've got some of Job's critics, pray for them so God can deliver you. Wipe that smirk off their face. You want to get them back? Get delivered. Boast in God, joy in God, and pray for them. It's all hard to do, but it's worth it. Amen? Listen to it very carefully. We're going to finish this. We're almost done. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. He told them, go to the other side. They start out in obedience to his word, and the wind is contrary. What a coinkadink. Can you say amen? Yeah, tell me about it. Somebody say, tell me about it. Oh yeah, the wind is contrary. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. The storm is picking up, and the wind is blowing against you. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking upon the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. Everybody say, it's spooky. Everybody say, I'm getting creeped out here. Come on. That's a creepy thing. Especially if you don't know it's Jesus. Can you say amen? They thought it was a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Oh! But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. What an impetuous man he was. Amen. And he said, come. And when Peter come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Isn't that incredible? But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, I'm going to stop right here before Job's critics jump on Peter. Let him alone. Let him alone. I'm going to tell you something you probably don't want to hear because you think you're going to walk water. You're going to tread water over all your trials. You're never going to have to cry out like Peter did. God has designed faith so that you depend on him as desperately as Peter did when he was sinking. Faith doesn't make you independent from God. It makes you more dependent on God. By the way, if you think you can walk the water, there's a waterway right down here. And if you've got the faith to do that, I'll go with you. And I will applaud you when you do it. Can you say amen? Somebody said, well, he got his eyes off the word. No, he got his eyes off the Lord. And he got his eyes on the storm and on himself. And it suddenly occurred to him. And I'm going to tell you something else. You probably won't like this, but it doesn't matter. I've been preaching too long to try to please everybody. Jesus never pleased everybody, so I quit trying. If he can't, there's no way I'm going to. I don't like the way he preaches. Well, you know, the churches are all over the place. Can you say, man? So don't punish yourself anymore. This is not about liking the preacher. This is about getting into the Word of God, getting it inside of you, getting real with God, getting right with God, getting a faith that won't be shaken when the trouble comes, because the trouble is coming. Amen. If it hadn't been to your house, you're probably next, because it hasn't been to mine. Can you say, man? It's been to Terry's too. Mike said he's heard it's headed his way. That's why he's taking so many vacations. Nobody home. Where's Mike? He's in the Grand Canyon. He ain't looking at it either. He's hiding down in the bottom of it, praise God. You can't run from this. You can't hide from this. But you can come to God. Listen, he saw. Jesus said, come on. Amen. If you got the faith, if you think you got the faith, buddy, if you think you got the faith, then you come right on. He jumped out, impetuous Peter. He's walking the water, and then he realized what he was doing. The storm picked up and got worse. Amen. He began to sink. And here's what God wanted all the time. He didn't miss God by sinking. Oh, nobody else even got out of the boat. Give him some credit. Cut him some slack. Can you say amen? Where's everybody else? They're saying, I ain't getting out onto it. Jesus say, come all he want to. That deep water storm's on. I ain't going out there. Peter's impetuous. He jumps out there. But impetuous is not what faith is all about. Faith isn't jumping to conclusions. It's concluding to jump. It's a different thing. Listen, when and how. So Peter began to sink. And he cries, Jesus, save me! Now, see, if he had failed God in some way, or his faith had failed in some way, amen, you know what would have happened? Jesus would have said, well, you were doing fine. You've got your eyes off the Word. You quit standing on the Word. Now you're sinking. If you can't take the heat, stay out of the kitchen. If you can't run with the big dogs, stay on the porch. You ever seen that sign? Honey, I don't stay on the porch. I'm under the porch. I don't even try to run with the big dogs. I don't want to be a big dog. I want to be a little dog with a big God. Can you say amen? Amen. I want a Savior. I want a Deliverer. I want a Helper. I want the Comforter. I want the one called alongside to help me. I want the everlasting arms underneath me. I don't want to walk on my own. I want the strong hand of God gripping my hand. So when I do walk the water, I'm sustained by the man from Galilee. Can you say amen? Look how God responded to him. And immediately, without chiding him for anything, immediately, everybody say immediately. Wow, how God responded to his cry. Whoa! And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Or how little did you trust me? Me. Why did you doubt what? Me. He's not talking about him just doubting the word. He's talking about him doubting Jesus. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Hallelujah. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand. Praise the Lord. I like what John Bunyan said. He said, all of us at times have passed through the sea of doubt. Bunyan speaks of being much tumbled up and down by his thoughts. Praise the Lord. Listen. It is when he cried, Jesus, save me, that his faith was made perfect. Because then he wasn't sustained by his faith in his faith, but his faith in the faithfulness of his deliverer. Everybody, his faith, say his faith in the faithfulness of his deliverer. Amen. That's why God designed faith. That you don't do this on your own and call that faith. You only do it supported by him. Underneath, in the place of support, are the everlasting arms. I will uphold thee nationally to the nation of Israel. Uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It doesn't mean help you up and turn you loose so you can go on your own. It doesn't even mean to support you while you walk. Uphold means to lift up from the earth. It means to grab you up and suspend you so it's none of your strength and all of his. Isn't that incredible? So that's why Paul said, you know, it weakens me when I go through these things, but when I am weak, then am I made strong. Where's the change occurring? In Paul. It's happening in Paul. His perspective, everything is changing. Praise the Lord. I don't know what kind of storm you're going through, but I know that storms come. And I know that cute little faith formulas won't take you through those storms. And I know sitting in church won't take you through those storms.
That's right.
At some point, you've got to get to know Jesus enough.
Yes.
To cry unto him and trust him that he will not let you sink. He will not let you down. He will not let you drown. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We need to support one another in prayer. When you see a brother or sister going through something, don't try to figure out what's wrong with them. Amen. That's not your place. That's a judgment seat. That's reserved for the one who knows the heart. You don't know the heart of anybody in here. Amen. And you don't want to know the head. Amen. I went to Spook House when I was in primary school. It scared me. Took me in there as a first grader. They had a good Spook House. I went in that dark place, couldn't see anything. They had to lead you through it. They didn't even have, and they took me through and said, would you like to feel a ghoul's eyeballs? And I thought, not really. Although you want to, but you don't want to. You know how scary things are? You want to be scared, but you don't want to be scared? And so they had grapes, these big red grapes floating around in some ice cold water. And they took my hand and thrust it into that ice cold water. And I felt them big old grapes in there. And I thought, Lord, let me out of here. I'm a first grader and I don't want to go through the Spook House no more. This is all the spook I want right here. I don't want to go inside some people's minds. That's a spook house. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And I don't know the heart, but I'm going to tell you something. I know that God loves you today. I know that God loves everyone in this room. And I know that everybody here is on a journey. Everybody here is on a journey. And I don't know where you are on your journey. I know this about your journey before we close. It's not how long you've been on the road. It's how far you've traveled down the road that determines your spiritual progress. Can you say amen? But God has you on a journey, and no temptation is taking you personally. Amen. That God isn't in control of, that God doesn't understand. And I just want to challenge you today, amen, as I challenge myself because I needed this sermon this morning. Hallelujah. At one point, I couldn't wait to hear what I was going to say next. Praise God. Hallelujah. Not because it's me, because it's God's anointing, God's word, God's truth. Hallelujah. Because there's a bunch of preachers tell you you're a mess, you're a failure. You need to listen to their tapes. Listen to me. You need to get a hold of God. Hallelujah. Get a faith that can't be shaken when the problems come and the pressures come. Amen. You don't have to buy this with money. You receive this from God. It's a gift of His grace. And His grace is sufficient. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Someone said it's easy to trust the Lord on a sea of calm, but in the time of storm when waves threaten the boat, it's going to take some believing to keep things afloat. I believe that. And I believe God is going to reach down every time I sink down. Everybody say God's going to reach down every time I sink down. Knowing that when that sinking feeling comes, knowing that when the storm picks up, knowing that when I know the word, but I've been rocked in my emotions, knowing that God is going to reach down when I sink down, and He's going to do it immediately, gives me the courage to face life and face my own weaknesses, Sister Venable, and know that He will not let me fall. Can you say amen? Paul said, now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling. That means going back into sin and present you faultless. Only He can do that. But He is well able to do that. And He's equipped us for these last day pressures. He's equipped us. Praise the Lord. I want to challenge you to boast in Him. this week. I want to challenge you to joy. At some point, rejoice in the Lord anyway. You say, but brother, remember these circumstances. Forget the circumstances. Focus on the Lord. The Lord will change you. And then in His timing, He will address the circumstances. Amen. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. To him that orders his conversation aright, to him I'll show the deliverance of my God. Psalm 50, last verse. God is gracious. God is good. Hallelujah. God is faithful. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. And today, I believe that He will come to your rescue. I believe that we're going to have a song, and then we're going to dismiss in prayer. Hallelujah. And I'm going to just ask you a personal question. How many of you are facing contrary winds as you serve the Lord? You got some contrary winds. Okay, for you that didn't lift your hand, we'll let you repent at the end of the service for not being honest with God. We'll open the altars to you. Amen. If you don't have contrary winds, you ain't saved. You ain't serving God. Can you say amen? If He told you to do something, the devil is going to come against you. Amen. You know what Paul said? My dad and I discussed this the other night. Paul said, we would have come to you sooner. God sent us to you. And we would have come before now. But Satan hath hindered us. Contrary winds came. But he said, oh, don't think that we're defeated. Don't be discouraged. We're coming. Amen. We've been hindered, but hindered don't stop us. We're coming. We're coming. We're coming. We're on our way, in fact. Can you say amen? Have we been hindered? Yeah. Did we stop? No. Did the devil defeat us? No. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. So hindrance don't mean we stop. It means we just press on. Hold on just a little while longer. Hold on. Let's have this video. We got honest people in here. Let's be real honest.